no typical murderers. Some plan their crimes meticulously, while others kill on impulse.
It's Jason Voorhees.
Fred Krueger, Mother. Fred Krueger!
It is time, Michael.
When there is no more room in hell.
Well, a boy's best friend is his mother.
The dead.
What's your favorite scary movie?
We'll walk the earth.
I'm eternal, child. I am the eater of them.
No tears, please. It's a waste of good suffering.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
The boogeyman is real.
Here's Johnny.
The blackest eyes.
Every year.
The devil's eyes.
Don't fall asleep.
It's got a death curse.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of Death Curse Radio. I am your host, Nathan Barker, and joining me tonight is Kenton Mullins.
Hey, what's up, guys?
And Bendy Alley.
Hey, how's it going?
Now for tonight's episode. Back in 1995, we were given a film that I absolutely love, a horror drama anthology that is just a fun and just a badass watch all around. And this anthology focused on stories of corrupt police, domestic abuse, institutional racism, and, you know, some creepy dolls, and gang violence. And if you don't already know what I'm talking about Tales from the Hood. Just a great watch, good cast and crew, no cheesy CGI and all that crap. Just a good and solid film and just a wonderful addition to the horror genre, at least in my opinion, which we can cover in itself on another episode. But for tonight, we will be discussing its follow-up. Back on October 2nd, Tales from the Hood 2 was released straight to home video. And this film definitely was not
the shit.
Tales from the Hood 2, for me, was not the shit. It was total fucking bullshit. Absolute garbage. I mean, from the minute it starts with the stupid ass skeletons all the way through the end with a stupid ass RoboCop and bullshit CGI, which we will discuss and dissect the stories here in a minute. But I mean, come on, what a total waste and just an absolute slap in the face to the original. I can't believe these guys. I mean, this movie had so much potential, especially with all the bullshit going on in the world and everyone being offended by everything. And they really could have hit a home run with this one on so many levels. And just, I mean, just an absolute disappointment. And I refuse to watch this garbage for a second time. It's just not going to fucking happen. The first time was bad enough. That's nearly 2 hours of my life I'm not getting back. And I don't know that I've ever been this disappointed in a film. If I sit here and think about it, there's probably some others that would be right up there with it, but I haven't been this disappointed in a film in a long ass time. That's for damn sure. And I remember when they first released an article saying that they were going to do a second one and the same guys were attached, and I'm like, okay, cool. Like, this is the perfect time to do a movie like this that really, really hits on some things, like I said, with corruption and abuse and the racism and gang violence and all that shit. It would be a good time because, as you know, there's a lot of shit going on in the world right now. And I thought, perfect. So I was really, really looking forward to it because I figured that they would do this, definitely do it some justice. And man, I was way, way wrong. And I drove around on October 2nd. To places where I was at the time, thinking, oh, well, I'll pick up a copy on the shelf, Best Buy, whatever, hit up a bunch of places. Nobody had it on the shelf. So I'm like, okay. So later on, I'm like, well, since it went to straight to home release, it'll probably be on Fire Stick. Sure enough, it was. And thank God I did not buy the movie, because I can tell you right now, I'd have been burning that fucking thing outside with the TOTS masks. Right, Kent? I mean, come on.
Yeah, absolutely. Inside the TOTS mask.
Exactly. We would have used the Blu-ray to start the fire for the TOTS masks. How about that?
Yeah, like the way they do those third world executions with the tires around inside the rubber. Yeah,
exactly.
Burn it up.
Yep. So I'm just gonna let you go first. I mean, we'll get to the finer details in just a minute and break it down piece by piece. But I mean, come on, what a disappointment.
Well, first of all, like you, I was a big fan of the original. I remember I was 9, 10 years old when it came out. I loved it. I rented it several times, and I remember when we were little, me and my buddies built a treehouse, and the only poster that I had hanging in that treehouse was an original Tales from the Hood poster that I had gotten from the movie warehouse close to where I lived. So, yeah, I was a big fan of this, and I was excited for Tales from the Hood 2, and especially finding out, you know, that it's from the same people. And then I watched it, and I feel like the directors forced our mouths open and then took a steaming shit in our throats. And first of all, we need to point out that as three white males, I don't know that we're allowed to talk about this movie.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, are we even allowed to discuss it? After I watched it, I'm like, oh, my God, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, because, you know, as white men, if you have something critical to say of anything like this, you're automatically a bigoted racist. So, yeah, like, and I think that's why it's important to preface everything we're getting ready to say with the fact that I loved the first one, which was essentially, you know, it had the same message. And also really enjoyed Get Out, which is in the same, you know, kind of, it's about racism. There are movies about racism that I really enjoy. This is not one of them.
Well, and, I mean, okay, so let's think about this. And the racism part, and we're not gonna make this episode strictly about that particularly, but I mean, basically, you needed to have what, 30 or 40 minutes of a bullshit story to tell people people not to vote for Democrats. I mean, come on.
You have there's literally a scene where the ghost of Emmett Till comes back and tells black people to not vote for the Republican Party. It's so fucking cheesy and heavy-handed and laughable. It's so stupid.
Oh, or yeah. What did I say? Not vote for Democrat. Yeah, never mind. I flip-flopped it. Yeah.
Yeah.
my bad. I had to think about that one for a second.
I was just laughing at how ridiculous all of this. It's propaganda is what it is. It's liberal propaganda, but how heavy-handed and I like to think that, you know, while they were making this piece of shit, in their heads, they were like, this is fucking groundbreaking stuff here. Like, we're going to change the world with this film. Like, that's what I think what they thought they were doing here.
They might have thought it, but they were way fucking wrong, because it just sucks all the way around. And yeah, that last, I mean, we're going out of order, but whatever. Everything's bullshit anyway, so it really doesn't matter. But yeah, I mean, that particular story, if you will, for one, it's not even scary. There's really nothing horror related about it, other than it's scary to think that you want to make a story about telling people, hey, don't vote for Republicans. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Is this even a horror movie at this point?
Right. I mean,
is this just a political campaign ad? That's what it feels like.
Absolutely. And I almost turned the damn thing off about halfway through anyway, but I just wanted to see how much more ridiculous it could get. And that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened after. I almost turned it off after the dumbass Tinder vampire bullshit. That almost had me
so awful.
Oh yeah, that almost had me right there. And then I'm thinking, well, it'll probably get more ridiculous than this because it's only like half over. The nonsense is only about half over. So I'm thinking, yep. And then sure enough, it did. And I just remember, like, it can't get any dumber than this right here. Don't vote Republican. It can't get any stupider than this. But then it does. It even gets even stupider than that, which we'll get to in a minute. But, Ben, I know that you weren't as big of a fan as the first Tales from the Hood. So what's up with this one on your level?
Well, I had went into this film really not even really excited. I mean, I know that's kind of bad to say, but not a big fan of the original. I remember seeing it. I know that the VHS cover, I think, is just like a mandatory in your local horror, you know, section at the video rental place. So I remember seeing that skull on the cover. That's just, you know, that's legendary. So when part two, I remember seeing it, you know, announced, coming out, the posters on Facebook and everything. And it was like, oh, okay, cool. But I really didn't think that I would like seek this movie out. I wasn't, you know, expecting to get it the first day or anything. So yeah, this movie, actually, I'll tell everybody, this was actually recommended by you two guys. So, you know, I sat down and I'd watched it. And after an hour and 51 minutes, all I got to say is fuck you guys.
Right. Well, like, I mean, but you guys,
that's fair enough, man. I accept that.
Well, I take responsibility for that or accountability for the recommendation. But here's the thing. Look at the first one. You're like, holy shit, this movie's badass. The second one, especially if the same guys are behind it, they're going to bring us something good with all the drama in the world and all the things that they could have grabbed onto or made stories out of. I figured they had an automatic home run, even though that it was not going to go to the theater. I'm thinking, okay, you know, things go straight to home release or stream or whatever. Of course, now it's on Netflix and almost immediately to Netflix. So I'm thinking that could still be something decent. They could have a kick-ass movie. And what, Kent and I, what was the budget for this? You looked it up earlier.
$3.2 million.
I mean, seriously, $3.2 million on. I mean, I know the first one didn't break any records by any means. I think it was a $6 million budget 24 years ago. So it's like, really? Okay. And it didn't do that great in the theaters. I mean, it made money. It just didn't make a ton of money, but it was more like a cult following later with, and of course the soundtrack too. I remember the soundtrack was big and, you know, Spice One, Born to Die. And I know nobody's heard of him in years, but Domino had a music video off that. Wu-Tang, I think, was on it, and it had some good shit on there if you're a rap fan. So, and especially in 94, 95, I mean, those guys were all big names at that time. So it had a soundtrack, I think, that went gold. Maybe it might have went platinum, I'm not sure. But either way, yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things that it had so much potential. And with Kent and I being bigger fans than you've been of the first one, that of course it's like, yeah, you need to watch this soon. We want to cover this like immediately. And after watching it, I'm like, I don't even know if I want to fucking talk about this. It's just such a waste. But then it's like, no, we have to, because it's that just ridiculous and stupid that they need to be called out, plain and simple. So yeah. Let's start with the first. We'll talk about each one of the tales real quick too, rather than just sit here and say just that it's just stupid. Well, we got to give some reasons why. So, all right, Kent, I'll let you tee off on the first story, if you will.
So just to, you know, a super, super oversimplification of this, a white lady and her friend who is a black lady go to this. It's African American history. It's actually a racism museum. Go figure, which is, you know,
shocker.
A good foundation for the rest of the movie. But it's essentially a racism museum where the white devil, those fucking white people, that devil, white girl, she
devil,
gets
devil, devils.
Yeah, she gets an infatuation with this doll, and it's got, you know, a big background story that we won't go into. But long story short, they break in later that night, try to steal the doll. For whatever reason, a like, are you afraid of the dark level in terms of effects, giant version of the doll comes to life, which doesn't really make any sense, and somehow impregnates her and kills everybody else. Oh, and we should also point out, before that, they have a white guy who is the boyfriend of the black lady tie his girlfriend up to a pole, and they play slave and slave owner, and as if it wasn't heavy enough, you know.
Right, right.
The in white, the racism museum.
Yeah, yeah. The white and the black to play slave owner or whatever you want to call it, slave driver or whatever the fucking game is.
Exactly.
It's like,
yeah.
It's like, really? Okay, we're in the racism museum, and then we're gonna do this. Before, as if,
and you know, I've known many black ladies in my life, and I've been friends with them, and I don't know a single one that would ever let that shit fly, not fucking for one goddamn second. But all that aside, he ends up somehow impregnating this the doll does, impregnating the evil white devil, and we end the story, if that's what you want to call it, with her giving birth alien style, chestburster style, to 5,000 other dolls. And I mean, that's the end of the story.
I mean, that definitely was the one of the dumbest things that I've seen in a long time. Just beyond stupid. I mean, come on. These stupid ass dolls flying all over the place and you're giving birth to fucking dolls. Get the fuck out of here. This is stupid.
And it is not a good appetizer for the rest of the film. I will say that. No.
And like I said, with the first one, there was racism discussed with that. I mean, before we get too far involved, the institutional racism with the dolls in the first film and the
police. And you even corruption. Have a police brutality segment too in the first one.
Right. And but at that time it was shortly after Rodney King and some of the other things were going on.
And very well done.
Right, absolutely. And that's why I'm thinking we're gonna get stuff that's pretty relevant to what we're seeing nowadays. And then all of a sudden we get a girl impregnated with dolls. Get the fuck out of here. I mean, seriously, just stupid. Just absolutely stupid. What the fuck were they even thinking? So once again, very similar. We have a doll story. And when I first watched it, I'm like, okay, we have another doll story. Whatever. Okay. I mean, it was in the first one, not surprising that it's going to be in the second one, but I think they should have just went a different route, maybe focused on some other shit and just steered completely away from that, because whoever thought that that was a good idea, you were wrong. You were absolutely wrong. That was completely stupid. Yeah. So Ben, thoughts on what they called Good Golly.
Man, to start the film with Good Golly, it almost kind of makes you scratch your head and say, Good Golly, why? Really, to me, what really stuck out was the quality of the dolls. I honestly think I saw like fucking hot glue holding on some, like, you know, parts of the mouth and stuff. It was absolutely horrible. So to me, it really just left I don't know, like, ah, shit. You know, I still got an hour and a half of this to go. It really just a shitty B movie. It really reminded me of Jack Frost, Bunnyman Massacre. You know, really just the kind of cheesy. This is our killer. You know, this giant fucking doll. It's I don't know. It looked like a third grader's like craft project or something. Not just very
stupid.
Yeah. It just wasn't. You know, if you're going to do a doll, I understand dolls are hot, you know, you Chucky, Annabelle, whatever. Okay. We got you. People like dolls, but you know, you have to do it in a certain way. And this just ended up looking like, honestly, like a fucking, like a gingerbread man or something. And I know that sounds racist. I know, but it's fucking horribly done. And, really though, I mean, racism, rape, obviously murder, those are horrible things in real life. And they obviously come into our films, but they have to be done in a way that's, you know, how many rape scenes have we done? Some are obviously done better than others. And same thing with racism. It has to be tastefully done. I know Kent said about the couple playing like master and slave. There was certain things in that just completely fucking unneeded. Like we got it, you know, they're in a racism slavery museum and all this. Like there was just so much of it. And then absolutely the ending was, man, I don't know what the hell I even watched. So yeah, I was really shocked by the first 20 minutes to start the film. There was better stories in this film that you know, they could have started with, leave us, you know, on a high note. This one would have been better maybe tucked away in the middle, I believe.
Or not at all, because it was fucking stupid.
Well, yeah, if it had to be included, I think they could have, you know, snuck it in the middle. Definitely not a good way to start it with, man.
No, definitely not. And the thing about watching it on the Fire Stick like I did, I'm thinking, since I'm glad I didn't actually buy it at the store, and I was able to watch it for free. So I'm thinking, yeah, it'll probably be on here, and punch in the search. Yep, there it is. And sure enough, boom, there's a stream. And it opens up with the dumbass skeletons in the beginning and the just terrible acting of the first 10 minutes where Keith David comes in and they start the storytelling. And they had showed that first 10 minutes on YouTube the day before. And I'm like, this just seems kind of lame, but I'm hoping the rest of the movie ends up turning out pretty good. But I remember when it first started playing and the stupid dancing skeletons and all that. And I'm thinking to myself, if any of you guys use the Fire Stick, it's like, well, this, it's like maybe I got a bad stream, or it's just there's some nonsense on there every now and again, and I'm like, oh, I'll just keep on watching it. And then sure enough, when it starts with that opening 10 minutes that they showed on YouTube the day before, I'm like, okay, yeah, this is the right movie. The dancing skeletons and all that are just so dumb that it makes you think that you're not even watching the right movie at first. It's like, really?
It looks like it was done by a graphic design special education class.
That's the easiest way to describe it. Not even the regular graphic design class. Not the regular one. They could have done better than that.
Was the alternative school special, like, graphic design class.
Yeah. Yep. Where the teacher is basically just telling you that as long as you just do something, you'll pass.
Exactly. And you don't stab somebody.
Yeah, and you don't stab somebody. Right. So, yeah, it was just like, that's the first thing that popped into my head was like, is this even the right film? And then sure enough that it is. And then I'm thinking, okay, well, it just came straight to home release. So you're not going to get one of them bullshit cell phone recordings of a movie in the theater that they put on Fire Stick Stream or whatever, or just some other nonsense. So that just started off the shit show of what they called Good Golly. And then after that, I'm thinking, man, they really better redeem themselves, because this is not starting out good. And then we move on to the second story that they've titled The Medium, and which I think this one by far, if I had to pick a favorite, which this isn't, I didn't like it. This one sucked just as bad as the rest of them did, but this was the less of the evils, is story number two of The Medium, which we have a notorious pimp that's being beaten in a garage full of cars and so on and so forth. And they're wanting to know where some money is and blah, blah, blah. So anyways, Kent, so they end up going over to the psychic's house. And then, as you know, it's just a shit show from there. But I think this one, I think you said earlier that you thought this was probably the best out of the four, but still, I mean, how much bullshit was this one too? And it's like,
yeah, I mean, of the four, it is by far the best. But even like you said, that's still not saying anything, because it still fucking sucks.
Well, it's ridiculous. It's like, oh, you hit him too hard and you killed him. But now we're going to go visit this TV psychic, and which is a bunch of bullshit. And we're going to see if he can find out the answers. And then all of a sudden now the psychic is possessed. Like, are you serious right now? Like, this is just beyond stupidity all the way around.
Yeah. Absolutely. And just, you know, to give everybody that hasn't seen it, spoiler alert, like, this movie could be any more spoiled than it already is. But just a real quick rundown. Gang members beat a guy to death. He knows where money is. They contact a celebrity psychic, white dude. They pretty much break into his house. And then the ghost of the guy that they beat to death takes him over, kills all the gang members, and that's the end of the story. I mean, I'm sure anybody that hasn't seen the movie that's hearing me like explain this, that's literally the story. And if that tells you anything, that this being the strongest, the best sequence in the movie, then that should tell you a lot.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I mean, the most people that are, they're going to listen to this, or the listeners, they would have already watched this movie. So yeah, definitely spoilers in there, but still, I mean, we're not going to break down each one of these stories bit by bit. So, otherwise we'll be here all night and just,
yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Almost 2 hours of total bullshit. So Cliff's Notes version of, yes, these, the gang members think they're going to use this TV psychic to get the information on this money. And then what's funny is the TV psychic, you know, he goes into the bathroom or whatever, and he's like scared shitless. Like, I'm not, cause it's fake. You know, it's the TV show's fake. So he sits down, they do the bullshit seance or whatever. And then now all of a sudden you are possessed. It's like, really, get the fuck out of here. I just didn't work for me, but it was definitely the best one of the four. There's no doubt about that, but it's just a dumbass story, plain and simple. Just like the first one was stupid, then the second one's stupid. And anything else you want to throw in there, Ben, before we move on to the third?
No, I think you guys pretty much, I mean, it was definitely the best of the four. That's not saying much. After the first 20 minutes of that Good Golly shit, I really didn't expect much of the other three, you know, stories, but I was pleasantly surprised with this one. This one was, you know, the better. I would say what made this one good, and this isn't saying much for a horror film, but probably, you know, the last, what, 5-10 minutes when the psychic actually was possessed, and it was funny to me. I was laughing. I don't think anywhere during this story were you, you know, scared or frightened or anything like that. Even the kills. I did think what was it, when he swallowed the glass? I was like, yeah. Oh, wow, that's actually kind of cool. Like, I'm waiting for, like, his neck to fucking, you know, rip open and you see all this stuff. And it really didn't even, there wasn't a payoff really to that kill. So I would say, yeah, during the story, the kills, it really wasn't that. It was funny to me at the end, but definitely the better story of the four.
Yeah, easily, which doesn't take much to be better because they all suck so bad and they're all just, it's just silliness is what it is.
I would equate, you know, us saying that this is good in a way, I would provide the analogy that, like, so this is good in the way that you just had to eat a bowl of shit and now you just have to eat newspaper. Like, yeah, I'm just glad I'm not eating that bowl of shit anymore because that first story is a bowl of shit, and then this is just newspaper. Like,
yeah,
in terms of having to eat something.
yep. And then we go from that. Then we move on to the date night story number three. And now we're back. Well, no, we're still eating newspaper because we don't get the bowl of shit back until we get told to not vote Republican on the fourth one.
Exactly. Yeah.
So yeah, we're eating newspaper again in the date night, which is a couple clowns doing the fucking tender thing and basically drug some girls. They're gonna, you know, have their way with the unconscious girls, and then they find out that these girls are vampires. And then all of a sudden, the attackers, if you will, are locked in like a people under the stairs style fucking basement with these vampires because it's funny because they're like, yeah, we can't just release them in the street or whatever. And then obviously the vampires are going to get these two clowns. But it's like it's pretty fast, but it's just dumb. It once again, it's just poor writing. And it's like, really, we have a couple tender girls that are vampires. Like, this is silly too. I'm sorry. Just that one doesn't work either. That was another strikeout.
How many times has this story been done better on a bigger scale and with a better budget? Like, how many times has we're taking, you know, this person home and, oh my God, they're a vampire. Like, this is a story that has been done a million times and it's been done better a million times. And the only good thing that I have to say about this story is at least they laid off the race stuff for a little bit. And this is going into more of the Me Too movement kind of stuff. That's what this is addressing in terms of, you know, the social political aspect of what this movie is. But yeah, also newspaper, also horribly executed, terrible acting and terrible effects. And if you can stay awake during this sequence of the movie, then you are quite the human being, I have to say.
Yeah. The acting in this movie is just horrendous outside of Keith David, which we'll get to Keith David here in a little bit after we cover these stories, but just real brief on these and how bad the writing is, how bad the acting is, and just total all around basically silliness. And I understand that they're trying to address something in some of these, but they just did not do it correctly. They didn't execute. It was just terrible. It's with a $3 million budget, I think they paid Keith David $2.9 million and then used the rest on the film. That's what it feels like watching. And he's not even that great for what I was anticipating. But like I said, we'll get to that in a minute. So, Ben, anything you want to throw in there before we move on to don't vote for Republicans?
Newspaper. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Good concept. Just poorly executed. I've seen it before. Just like Kent said, how many times have we brought somebody home and they're a vampire or, you know, a werewolf or something, or they're not quite what, you know, what they seem. It's, you know, you think, hey, I'm going to drug this girl and, you know, have my way with her, but well, no, you know, tables are turned and the girl, you know, has the last laugh. Definitely opposite of the second tale, the medium. This one, like I said, I mean, I was actually kind of interested. It was, like I said, just poorly executed, I would say. And the beginning half was God, I better than the ending. I would say the ending of this, just, it was like, oh, okay. They have this like dungeon full of all these guys. Okay. Yep. Totally fucking seen that before, you know? So just good concept, poorly executed. Seen it before, could have done a little better. And it really does make you think out of these four tales, like, Jesus, this is what they chose. You know, they had to have multiple scripts and different, you know, options to pick from. And this is the one that they picked. And that's kind of unfortunate for us. So, yeah, newspaper.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I mean, they could have gored it up more, done better FX, just made it a little bit darker. It's just a boring, story. It just follows along with the rest of the film just being boring. And I literally was about to turn it off after this one. I was fed up, but I'm like, well, we'll just ride it on out and see how much worse it could possibly get. And then, sure enough, it absolutely does with,
oh boy, does it,
the sacrifice. Yeah. Just wow. After I watched it, I'm just like, are you serious right now? This is really what I just watched. Like, oh, like seriously. And that's the first thing that I thought. I'm like, yeah, basically they're just saying, don't vote for Republicans, period. They could have really summed this up a lot quicker. And I know Kent, you got some things you want to say on this, and I'm going to open it up for you, but that's what I thought as soon as it moved on to the bullshit ending. That was my first thought was, well, I guess I shouldn't vote Republican the next time I go to vote.
Yeah. Oh boy. That, of the four stories, I think this one is the most hardcore in terms of like just being blatant, left-wing propaganda. You have the, also, I want to say I'm not even a fucking Republican, and this is how I feel about it. But anyways, you've got the overly stereotypical Republican that they have there. It looks like Colonel Sanders. They've got him dressed like a plantation owner, saying these extremely disrespectful, ridiculous things to this, you know, intelligent, good-looking black man that's also a conservative. And he's just, it's so fucking ridiculously, and I've used this word over and over, heavy-handed, but so heavy-handed that it's almost cartoony. It's almost like a Saturday Night Live sketch. How cartoony everything is and heavy. And then you have, of course, you know, to wrap it all up, the ghost of Emmett Till, which is, you know, historically one of the worst cases of racism ever. They really sunk to the bottom with this when they resurrected Emmett Till to come back from the dead and tell all black people that they shouldn't think for themselves. They should not. They should absolutely do not think for yourselves. Vote for nothing but the Democratic Party. And I wish I was making this up, man. I wish that I'm exaggerating how like straightforward this is. It's not an exaggeration. He says this. Do not vote for the Republican Party. That is almost word for word what the ghost says. And I wish, right, I was making this up, but I'm not. It's just laughable propaganda, and it's not even being discreet about it.
No, it hits you in the face. I mean, it's very, very obvious. Like I said, that's the first thing that I thought after I watched it, and thought to myself just how dumb it was too. Just thinking, this movie is just complete and absolute garbage all the way through. Now, I wasn't offended by anything. Nothing that I seen in there did I feel offended by, or did I have an issue with or anything. And I'm not one of those people out there that gets offended all the time anyway. So that's not really a big surprise. But I'm just thinking to myself, wow. I mean, that's what we got. These are the stories that we got, is just this, just silliness. That's, I guess, the easiest way for me to describe all of them. Is just absolute silliness. I mean, seriously, we start off with a girl alien style giving birth to fucking dolls to don't vote Republican. That's the best you can do. I mean, seriously, like that's it. I mean, it just leaves you thinking like, why even bother doing a second film? You're only going to spend $3 million on it. It's going to go straight to home release. The first one, they spent $6 million on, which you looked up in what is nearly a $10 million nowadays. So if the first one would have been made today, that would have been a $10 million budget. And this one was only three. And it's like, really, like, I seriously think they paid Keith David $2.9 million. I mean, that's like the only thing that would make any sense as to why the rest of the movie is such a fucking, just a dumpster fire.
And then they wiped their ass with the rest of it because it sure as fuck didn't end up on screen.
Yeah, right, exactly. So, like I said, I understand the, I understand what they're getting at. They don't do it properly. They don't execute anything the way that it should be. And the potential is there. I mean, for that story to bring someone back and blah, 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 and essentially change the future with decision making and so on and so forth, there's substance there. They just go about it the wrong way and they didn't put any money into it or bother with anything else. Just like the first story is just stupid. It's stupidity. Come on. It's a fucking doll that looks like a goddamn gingerbread man. I mean, it's just dumb. It's stupid. It looks like amateur bullshit. It looks like a terrible. Nowadays, we got some kick-ass fan films. Never Hike Alone, Spirit of Haddonfield. Got to give a shout out to that. There's good fan films out there. This looks like a terrible attempt at a fan film. It's that just stupid. I don't really even know what else to say.
And unfortunately, you know, it ain't over yet. It's
oh, no.
Getting ready to get even worse.
Yep. And by even worse. So we go from dumbass stories that are extremely weak. And then, of course, these stories are being told for this so-called robo-patriot, this RoboCop technology, whatever you want to call it. So to influence this robo-patriot. So anyways, then when we do see this at the ending, the Robo Hell or whatever the hell it was they entitled that, where the Robo Patriot is being essentially introduced to society at a press conference, I guess, if you will. And then, of course, turns his sights on what's his name? Mr. Sims. Yeah, turns his sights on Mr. Sims as a bad guy. And then next thing you know, it's like watching a fucking cheesy Power Ranger cartoon. Like I'm just like, okay, I thought I've seen enough nonsense, but now we see lasers and just, oh my God, it's whatever at that point. I mean, you don't think it's going to get any worse, but then it does. And then of course the cheesy CGI after all of that at the end with Keith David and all that shit as they're driving in their SUV. But it's just, I mean, I guess it's to be expected because everything that we've seen for an hour and 40 minutes prior to that was just god awful. So I would expect this to be too. And it wasn't a disappointment because you're just so used to seeing the nonsense that it just followed right along in suit of that. So, yeah, I think you said Power Ranger earlier, Ben. Kent, you did too. Whatever you guys, thoughts on the Power Ranger lasers.
Well, I'm sure I'm not the only one here that saw this ending coming from the first fucking 3 minutes of the movie. Like, from the first, literally, dude, from the first 3 minutes, I went, oh, I see where this is going. Got $100 that says this robot turns on them. And I'm assuming you did too. You saw that coming, right?
Yeah, I did. I'm thinking to myself, okay, this asshole guy, this arrogant guy, whatever, he's got the prisons and the money, and now he's going to have this robo police force and blah, blah, blah. And, of course, he's going to hear the stories, and the stories are going to influence the AI, if you want to call it that. And since the AI is supposed to be way more than what the capabilities are endless. And I'm thinking, yep, okay, so I know we're going to hear stories about racism and similar stuff to what we saw in the first film. I'm expecting that, but I would say I don't think during the first 10 minutes of the movie when he's explaining before they start telling stories, I don't think I thought it then. I think I probably thought it right as the last act started when they were introducing the robot or whatever. I'm thinking, yep, this dude's going to get it. So I don't recall exactly, but I think it probably would have been towards that last act when I figured out probably what was going to happen, and sure enough, it did.
It did, and yeah, I saw it coming from the second I saw them bring this guy in, and the second that white dude said to black gentleman telling the story, you know, your people, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I see where this is going. Saw it coming from a mile away, but by the time the end comes along, I didn't even give a fuck. I just wanted it to be over.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty much. I remember when I was watching it, the movie is so terrible that I kept checking to see how much longer there was.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah, I mean, it's that bad. This is the worst movie that I've seen in a long time. I'm trying to think of a movie that I would rate worse than this in the last, say, 6 months, even a year, and nothing is popping into my head right now.
This makes Jeepers Creepers 3 look like The Shining.
Oh, my God. Yeah, forgot about, I forgot about Jeepers Creepers 3. Yes, it makes that look like, oh, my God, night and day difference.
Like it was made by Stanley Kubrick.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up because, dude, where'd you get that van or whatever we called the episode on Jeepers Creepers 3? We're not fans of that one. That was terrible. So good call on that one. That's been about a year ago. So yeah, it was. It was September, I think, of last year when that film came out. So a little over a year. So yeah, I can't think of anything else. Now, granted, if I sit here long enough, there's probably something random that I watched on Netflix that was probably worse than this. But I seriously cannot think of anything off the top of my head other than Jeepers Creepers 3 that this film is by far worse than that. I mean, this movie is just absolutely terrible. I guess we'll just kick into final thoughts now. I'll go ahead and just, I know we've pretty much already given our final thoughts as far as the movie goes, but I would not recommend that anyone watches this for the most part, unless you're a big Keith David fan. And oh yeah, we forgot to talk about Keith. So we'll throw that out there too. If I have anything positive to say about this movie, which I really don't, and I'm just being generous at this point, in that positive thing would be Keith David. Keith is a great actor and pretty nice guy. He hits the convention circuit. I've had a chance to talk to him a few times over the years, and I think he's a great actor. And I think that he was a good fit for this role, that he had potential, but I don't think they used the potential. But then again, his character was way different than what we've seen with Clarence in the first one, which he really brought that character to life. I mean, with the comments and the facial expressions and just the way that he looked, it was a night and day difference. Whereas we see Keith David and he's got the suit on, a little more businessman-like, I guess if you want to call it that. And of course he had a good laugh in there and his acting was solid for the most part. So if anything is a positive of it, it would just be Keith David. And I think they didn't utilize him like they could have, but then again, the character wasn't as comparable to the one in the first. So, other than that, I would not waste the hour and 51 minutes or 50 minutes or whatever the hell it is. I mean, this movie is so bad, I would not recommend it to anyone. I wish if I would have known, or even if somebody would have told me how terrible it was, like if I listened to this show or any other shows about it and they were bagging it the way that we are, I probably wouldn't watch it. I probably would not. And because, like I said, there are some follow-ups nowadays that are just absolute garbage. And this did not have to be. That's why it's so disappointing, is that it did not need to be a terrible movie. This movie could have been a great film and it had every opportunity to be a home run, and they just simply fucked up and they missed out. And if they come out with a third one, I'm not fucking watching it. I'm done with it. They lost me on this one. So, Kent, wrap it up on your end.
Well, going to Keith David, I think that Clarence Williams was so good in the first one that it almost overshadows Keith David in this one. I love Clarence Williams in the original. I thought he was absolutely terrifying, especially as a 9-10-year-old. You know, yeah. I remember him giving me nightmares. But Keith David does not come off even remotely as menacing as Clarence Williams does. But yeah, I mean, he is probably the best in terms of acting and everything in the movie. But to wrap it up, I want to say I've read the reviews, a lot of the legitimate critic reviews online, And all of them are just sucking this movie's dick so hard. And it goes back to them being afraid. Like, you know, when we opened it up, three white guys. It goes back to just being afraid to say something and wanting to look progressive. Like, oh, this movie is really eye-opening. And that's what all of them say, every one of them. They just suck this movie's dick. And they pretend like they didn't just watch a steaming pile of horse shit, which is what it is. And that I thought that was both, you know, funny and infuriating because it's misleading, and they know while they're writing it that they're full of shit. And you know, some critics I lost respect for, people that I've read several movie reviews from that I would go to oftentimes to get a feel for a movie before I watched it. I won't again. I'll tell you that. It's just shows the lack of balls that people have when they're afraid to say something is garbage like this. And I think they knew that when they were making it. But to wrap it up, yeah, don't see this. It's almost unwatchable. And, you know, like we said, it makes Jeepers Creepers 3 look like, you know, the OG Halloween. That's how bad this is.
Yeah, I mean, to put it in that perspective ought to tell people how absolute much of, like you said, a steaming pile of shit that it is, because that three was just, I mean, oh my God. And for this to be even below that, and it's not just below Jeepers 3, we're talking about it is way, way worse than that. I mean, not even in the same parking lot for that matter. This movie just literally is just absolute garbage, plain and simple. And I have not read any of the reviews that you're talking about. And the reason that I didn't is because I knew it would just piss me the fuck off. And I wouldn't even be able to respect those opinions, because there's no way that anybody honestly could give this movie a good review. Now, go over to YouTube, and I have watched a couple, like 8 or 10 minute little YouTube clips of doing the review, and every one of them threw it right under the bus too. They had no use for it. Now, I'm sure there's probably thousands of YouTube clips out there that are talking about the same shit. I watched 3 or 4 of them, and they all said the exact same things. Maybe not in the sense that we did, but they were just kind of like, what the fuck, too. And they had nothing really good to say, other than if anything were to be positive, it would be Keith David. But like I said, he's not even really a villainous type character like Clarence was in the first one. It's a totally different type of character, but he did it well. He did it justice for what they did. And that would be my only, I guess, positive thing that I'd have to say about that. So, Ben, final thoughts and wrapping it up.
Well, if you like shitty kills, bad acting, and, you know, kind of forced down your throat racism, killer Power Ranger robots all rolled into a movie that looks like it was made for sci-fi, then by all means, check this one out. But for, you know, the horror fan, the diehard horror fan, there's really nothing here to offer. So final thoughts, save 2 hours, skip to the last 5 minutes, have a good laugh at, you know, a Power Ranger shooting fucking lasers, and welcome to hell, motherfucker.
Right. If you're a huge Keith David fan, then just watch it for that. But when I say watch it for that, just watch his parts and then fast forward through all the rest of the garbage until you see him on the screen again next, because yeah. Don't waste your 2 hours. I'm sure you can find something better to do. But that's just our thoughts on Tales from the Hood 2. So that wraps up another episode of Death Curse Radio. So please rate and review wherever the hell you listen to the show at. And check us out on Facebook at Death Curse Radio or our website, deathcurseradio.com. And just another reminder, if you want to pick up a show shirt, those are still available at slasher-tees.com. Appreciate all the support and people who have purchased a shirt so far. If you're representing out there, send us a picture. We'll give you a shout out on social media. And also owner James Amaral from Slasher Tees. If you're looking for custom orders for your horror shirts, definitely hit him up through the website. He takes all kinds of custom orders. So this episode was brought to you by the garbage that is known as Tales from the Hood 2.
Evil lurks in the mind of a bad man.
This is the end, friend.
Your suffering will be legendary, even in hell. What the prime time, bitch?
I am the devil, and I am here to do the devil's work.
Candyman.
I
Candyman.
eternal.
Because I've seen enough horror movies to know any weirdo wearing a mask is never friendly.
That is better.
I guess everyone's entitled to one good scare, huh?
Some strange idea entertained.